That lovely introduction. Thank you, music team, for setting the table that I need to move to get into place. Wow, this is not just any old table. Give me if that is that the place to be? Great. Welcome. Welcome to everyone here. Welcome to everyone online. It is good to be in the house of the Lord, as we've sang. Thank you again, the music team, for setting us up so well. Let me just get set up here and ready to roll. My name is Phil, as has been mentioned, and it's up on the screen. Reminder, I need a clicker. And it is my distinct privilege, distinct honor to lead us into God's Word this morning. We are in summer in the Psalms, and we are going to Psalm 142. And I've given this psalm the title, Emotion Management with David. Those of you who feel like leaving the service now when you hear that word emotion, just stay seated. It'll be okay. Emotion Management with David. We have a handout to guide us. Our ushers have been at work to make sure everybody's got one. But if you'd like one, it's got some good information on it. Just raise your hand. They have writing instruments that you can use as well. And they'll make sure that you get one. Because we need one to get us going this morning. Thank you, ushers. Now, to get us in the mood for this psalm, get us in the mood, I want you to take your paper. If you're online, there is a PDF, I'm told, on our website, or just grab a piece of paper and a pen and you can follow along with us here. Write down two emotions that you are sitting with right now in church. Two emotions. One that might be on the more pleasant side and one that might be on the more unpleasant side. And let me add a little. Maybe pick two emotions that you might not just share with any old person. Okay, write them on your paper right now. One pleasant, one maybe not so pleasant. And if you've already done that, then turn with me to Psalm 142 in the Bible that you have brought this morning. Psalm 142. Looks like everybody's done that part. All right, let's pray as we begin. Oh God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for this seven verses in your word in Psalms. We need your help to unpack it, dear God. We need your help to understand it. By your Spirit, come and teach us, and then give us hearts to put it into practice. Thank you that you love to answer that kind of a prayer, and we pray that together as we begin. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, to get us in the mood a little bit more, here's the second thing I want you to do. I want you to write every emotion that you see in these seven verses. You've been given a spot on your page there to write emotions. This is not an in-depth analysis. As soon as you see an emotion, just write it on your page. Here's the little twist. I want you to gather in groups of three or four, just with those around you, and popcorn out the emotions that you see. I'm going to have the words up on the screen as we go. I don't know if that mixes up our music part, but we'll see. So we're going to have about 3 minutes to do this, so not a lot of time to lollygag on each verse, okay? Just pop in the emotions that you see or even feel as you go through it. All right, let's go now. We've got a little bit of music to help set the mood.
Thank you.
last minute. Wow, well done. Lots of interaction going on. Lots of emotion identification. Gotta love it. I even saw lots of guys talking, which is really, really encouraging. All right. We're going to take a deep dive now into this song. We're in the mood, and we got to take a little closer look at some of the words. This psalm has a title. And in most versions of the Bible, the Hebrew word maskil is in the title. And this word simply means that this is a teaching psalm. It's meant to teach. David had learned some things in his life, and he writes a prayer. He writes a psalm to teach his original audience, and then, of course, us, this many years later. There's also this curious little phrase in the title, when he was in the cave. Now, for most of us, when we hear David is the author of this, we think of King David. We don't think of King David being a caveman, dwelling in the cave, part of his existence. Well, fortunately, I actually have a picture of a cave. It may or may not have looked like that, but again, a picture gets us in the mood. Fortunately, the Bible tells us how he ends up in the cave at one point in his life. Let me summarize. In the book of 1 Samuel in the Old Testament, David was told pretty early on that at one point in his life, he's going to be the king of Israel, the ruler of it all. He had recently gotten married to the existing king's daughter. King Saul's daughter became David's wife. David went out and fought many battles in God's name, and with God, many miraculous things happened with God and David. He became a great leader, he became a great warrior, and his popularity just rose. His father-in-law saw this and wasn't too pleased with David's popularity. In fact, his displeasure turned into anger. And his anger turned into, I want to kill David. I want to have him dead. And he personally attempts several times to kill David. Wow, I'm glad I don't have a father-in-law or didn't have a father-in-law like that. Things get too dangerous for David and he leaves. He leaves his new wife. He leaves his family. He leaves his extended family. He leaves his home. He leaves his community. And he's out in the wilderness by himself. And he arrives at the cave that many scholars feel is Adullam, one of the caves mentioned in the Bible. And it's out of this fugitive cave experience that David pens this song. Now, I don't know about you, but in a crowd like this and online, when life's circumstances become unpleasant, maybe not like David's, okay? We don't got father-in-laws hunting us down. But we all have unpleasant circumstances in our lives. Emotions arise. For the longest time for me, I struggled with this part of being made in the image of God. What are these things that come up in me? What are they called? What do I do with them? What is their purpose, God? Thankful for the Psalms, where I found quite a bit of guidance in handling emotions. Let's dig in and see what there is to find. Skip back to the first verses. I cry out to God, the Lord. I plead for the Lord's mercy. I pour out my complaints before him, and I tell him all my troubles. It'd be so much fun here to compare notes to see what you wrote for emotion coming out of those two verses. We feel a guy here who's come to the end of himself. He's crumpling. He's crying. He's pleading. He's pouring himself out. The weight of what's happened for him is getting to him. You can see him there in the cave, probably brought to his knees, there in the dark, damp, can I say the word creepy? Desolate place called a cave. Folks, we're in a church. This is not your usual prayer room, right? That kind of cave. But here David is praying. I love what he's doing with all this that's inside him. He is doing this with the Lord God of Israel that David had gotten to know so well. Just like us, when emotions arise within us, David had choices. What is he going to do with this stuff coming up for him? Expert researchers tell us that at the root of many addictions is unpleasant emotion and not being able to deal with them in an appropriate manner. We want to get away from these emotions. We don't like them. We're going to cover them up. We got to anesthetize them, make them go away. And you name it, we can put it in there to do that. Well, David had lots of options too, but he chose to go to God. One of the interesting words in these few verses is the word complaint in Hebrew. When I call myself a complainer, think of whining and sniveling and like just being icky, right? Like, ugh, don't we love complainers? This is not the word complaint in Hebrew. The word complaint in Hebrew simply has the idea, I am bringing my troubled thinking and laying that out before God. That's complaint in the Hebrew. My troubled thinking. David is not whining and sniveling here. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, when I look back on my life and do some archaeology, as it were, I realized that my beliefs around emotions and troubled thinking were clearly shaped to bottle them up, keep them inside, keep them out of sight. Rather, look good on the outside, make sure you're looking put together. Don't let anybody see what's going on inside. That left me really confused with what was going on inside. Lots of struggle. David somehow here, though, had learned to go to God with his emotion and his troubled thinking. Let's go a little further. Verse 3. First part of verse 3. We hit a human emotion that is one of the hardest. When I am overwhelmed. We live here at the confluence of two rivers, the Fraser and the Nechaco. I've lived here long enough to see both of those rivers spill over their banks. The river channel cannot contain the river in them. That is what overwhelmed feels like. I, as a human being, cannot contain all that's going on for me. David is overwhelmed. His circumstances. But then we see an interesting emotion sneak in the last part of that verse. I call it the emotion of faith. Have you ever called faith an emotion? If I use the word confidence, that feels like more of an emotion. His confidence in God starts to return. You alone know the way that I should turn. David and God had many experiences together. he could draw on his memory bank. He knew that God knew the way out of his mess. He starts telling himself that. But then we get to 3B. Slides back into the ditch, as it were. Wherever I go, my enemies have set traps for me. Ever felt entrapped? Boxed in? And then the emotion that comes with it? Anxiety, what's coming next? Threatened, nervous? Now, David isn't imagining this. He's actually got real enemies who are going around hunting him down. They want him badly. It's not just King Saul now. It's a group of people chasing him down, and they want him dead. Well, if that's not enough, we go to verse 4. Gets worse. I look for someone to come and help me, but no one gives me a passing thought. No one will help me. No one cares a bit about what's happening to me. Can see him there in the dark cave. What emotion did you write here? Here's a man who's feeling disconnected from everyone. He's lonely. He's despairing because no one is even giving him a thought. He's thinking, I matter to no one. That's a fairly deep and strong emotion, people. Some versions say, look to my right. When they said that back then, they were referring to the king's protector that would be at the right hand. If we think today of a bodyguard, they're usually right at the right hand of the person they're guarding. David had no one at his right hand. But as it is with us human beings, emotions shift now. David gets to verse 5. When I pray to you, God, when I cry out to you, I say. There's nobody in the cave with him saying this to except God. He's affirming it in his own life. You are my place of refuge, God. You are all I really want in life. David cries out and he reminds himself, God is my safe place. God cares for me. God sees me. God will help me, and God is my protector. My right-hand man, if you like. You are my all and all in this mess. Then we get to verse 6. You guessed it. Slides back into the ditch. Hear my cry, for I am low. No, I am very low. What does it feel like to be very low? You're sad, you're depressed, you're devalued, you're rejected. 6b, rescue me from my persecutors. They are too strong for me. Comes back to thinking about those guys that are chasing him again. This, for many, in many ways, is David's lowest point before he actually becomes king. And then we get to verse 7. Bring me out of this prison. He's in a cave and he feels like he's in prison. So I can thank you. The godly will crowd around me, for you are good to me. Some positive emotion starts to come back. A prison, though, is a place of confinement. It's not very much fun. In his mind, he's confined and he longs to go back to the musician that he is. Get back to composing, to praising God, to thanking God. He led his people in that so well. And then this emotion of faith shows up again, right? He sees the day when he's no longer shunned, he's no longer hunted, but he's crowned king as God had promised, and he's surrounded by good people. He's back in his good community. And if you read the story in 1 Samuel, this actually all happened. God organized his brothers, his father's house, to join him there in the cave. Their group got a little bigger, and soon David became king. Whew, let's pause there. What an emotion-packed psalm, hey? Full of emotion. Well, here's some things I learned through this psalm and other psalms. Let's poke through them as we move through. You've got some blanks to fill in your sheet there. Join me as we go through. I told you earlier that I learned to keep emotion in. And then I started thinking, why am I keeping all these things in? They must be bad. They must be meant to be hidden. One of the results is that I couldn't recognize and I didn't have the language for all that was going on inside of me. Somehow David had learned this vocabulary of emotion. He listened to his emotion and he named them. And amazingly, God had the Psalms inspired and written to capture every emotion known to mankind. If we were to do a study and highlight all the emotion in the Psalms, you would see there's hardly an emotion that isn't covered. And I think that's why God had the Psalms written, to teach us what emotions are. Now, let me speak quickly and a few times to parents of young children here with us this morning and online. We've got lots of things to do with our time as parents. May I urge you to become an expert in this whole emotional field of life? Become good at seeing and naming your own emotions first. Why? So that you can see these emotions in your children. And as you see them with your children, have discussion with your children. And they will learn to name the emotions that are bubbling up inside of them. This is how we as emerging children learn to give language to what we're feeling. Makes perfect sense. So there in your first blank there, fill in the two yellow words. Learn to listen. Got to pause and listen what's going on for and identify your emotions. Now, once David had done this, he gave himself permission to feel his emotions, to sit with them. I love how open and accepting he was of his own emotion. He validated these things and acknowledged them before God. I like how God did this as well. God had all of these things written in his word. I call that validation. I call that acknowledgement. Again, young parents, when your children come to you full of emotion and the behaviors attached to the emotion, what do? We see the behavior, we see the emotion, we've got options as to what we do. Can I urge us to become really good at simply listening to the emotion, accepting the emotion that your kiddo is going through, validate it? We can do the opposite as well, right? Condemn, deny, dismiss, somehow shut them up and shut them down, please. Both ways have outcomes. It took me a long time to get to this point of acceptance and validation of what I was feeling. Now, as I stand before you, I try and embrace all of the emotion that comes up in me. Why? It's very simple, because in God's world, each emotion has a role to play in my life. We'll see a little bit of that in a little bit. But the emotional part of being a human being is a big part of what it means to be created in the image of God. So our second learning, learn to embrace, learn to accept and to validate emotion. One of the coolest things I like about this psalm, because it's not true of every psalm, is we get to see the circumstances that David had been through. But more importantly than seeing the circumstances, we get to a little glimpse as to what he's thinking about the circumstances and his cave life. For example, David thinks about those who are hunting him down, those skilled guys hunting him down. persecuting him, setting traps for him. And of course, his emotion then bubbles over to that of overwhelmed, trapped, low. All the emotions that he identifies there. But conversely, we see David, when he thinks about the kindness of God, what starts showing up for him? That feeling of confidence, that feeling of rejoining the community. In God's kindness, there will be help. The learning here is that when we want to know why we are feeling a certain way, we need to dig into how we're thinking about what's happening in front of us. This is the hardest part of this whole management. Sorry, young parents, again, I just got to underline this. When we learn the thinking behind our own emotion, then when our kiddos come to us with their emotion and their behavior, we can push back a little bit and say, what is my little youngster thinking about that's leading to this? And then we're getting at the real issue. So the third learning, learn to discern the circumstances. That's important. But more important is the thinking about the circumstances that lead to the emotion that's happening. Once David sees his troubled thinking behind his troubled emotions, we see him struggling to make some change in his thinking. The psalm goes back and forth in this. I just love how it so mirrors our human experience, right? David's hitting rock bottom. His thinking was all caught up in being chased down and hunted and wanting to be killed. He forgets about God. He forgets about God's care of David. Then he gets his thinking back on track. Verse 5, what a beautiful verse. You are my refuge. You are all I really want in life. And we see David's emotion changing. Confidence starts coming back. At this stage in life, emotions for me are like those red lights on our dashboards of our vehicles. Some people ignore those red lights, like we do our emotion. But usually the mechanics I know say there's trouble in the engine when those red lights come on. When we see those emotions bubbling up, use it as a red light to say, what do I need to switch up in my thinking? Some of you know that I've actually wrestled with a food addiction most of my life. I've used food in so many ways and so many times to comfort myself when I'm feeling unpleasant. They don't call it comfort food for no reason. It's so easy to reach out for something that I like and then start feeling good, right? I want those good feelings to come back. People, when I unpeeled that and got to the thinking behind what was going on, that was troubled thinking. Still is. This thinking needed to change in my life to get back into line. God's thinking about the use of food. And again, parents, we got to learn this first in our own lives. We have to be able to take an emotion, grab the thinking behind it, and then change our thinking, because that's what needs to happen with our kiddos as we're raising them. This is an important, important life skill. When you've read the Bible from front to back, you know that God is very interested in the process of us renewing our minds, getting our minds back on proper thinking. And here in the Psalms, God uses unpleasant emotion to renew David's thinking time and time again. So here's D, learn to use emotions to shift our thinking back in line with God's wisdom. Finally, we see David doing all of this processing with God in prayer. And as he prays, he moves from troubled thinking to good thinking, right? That isolation, that aloneness that he feels, he's now got that good vision of being with good people once again. Being helpless and hopeless, confidence again in God's kindness to him. This prayer, our this psalm challenges our praying, doesn't it? Do we pray this way? Do we come to God in prayer this way to look for changed thinking? David had learned this well. God knew he would need this skill because he's going to be king. Think of all the unpleasant circumstances that are going to come to his attention. And if he didn't have a proper way of managing all that emotion, he would be toast very quickly. We affirm that we need these skills as well. So finally, put lots of energy to learning to process emotion and thinking with God, and then others. You may or may not have some friends that you can come with these emotions and say, help me with this. If you're like me here sitting here this morning like me, and you're learning emotion management later in life, it is never too late to start. On the back of your page, I've gone to the trouble of listing the emotions you'll find in the Psalms. Here's a great place to start. We can use them to learn the language. If you're having a hard time understanding, what is this stuff in me? To see these emotions in our life, to embrace them, to accept them, to acknowledge these emotions, and then let them lead us to look at our thinking and change our thinking if needed. What I like about this prayer is it tells us that God is a safe place. God is safe to do this with. He gently listens to us. He gently acknowledges what we're going through. He provides us with solid thinking. And we enjoy the emotion of that solid thinking. But he just doesn't want us to sit in caves and do this processing. He wants us to be this safe kind of people for others. Others, when we listen, we validate, we assist with troubled thinking, we're helping one another, we're bearing each other's burdens, as the New Testament says. We get back into alignment with God. So, this is a mass skill. This is a teaching time. Any good teaching time, we talk to our teachers in the crowd, there's homework. You wrote down two emotions as we started. Take a look at the unpleasant one in particular and take the processing that we've outlined here and go through it. Is there some thinking that needs to be renewed? I can almost guarantee you there definitely is. Is there encouragement in one of the emotions that you wrote down? My thinking is in alignment with God's. I'm going to enjoy this emotion because of that alignment with God. Enjoy it. Enjoy that pleasant emotion. There's tons of pleasant emotion in the Bible. Life is emotional, isn't it? Got lots to practice with. Sure enough, we're going to walk out of here. We're going to be at home. Something emotional is going to grab us. We'll have an opportunity to practice on the spot. Listen, I thank you for participating so well. Our worship team's going to come up. Psalm 142, emotion managed with David. And all God's people said, amen and amen.